What up, what up, what up? Welcome back to the Visual Studio 2017 launch. I'm so excited to be back yet again on camera. Third time's a charm. But with me this time, I don't even have to demo. I can just shut this. I'm done. Now I'm going to be monitoring tweets just in case you have some posts. My good friend Carol. How's it going, Carol?
Awesome, James. And it's such an honor to be here on this exciting day, launching VS 2017. How many versions did we launch?
2017. That is the correct one. Look in your directories, program files x86, 2017. No. I'm super excited because I forever have been working on the Xamarin side of things, showing devs how amazing it is to build these native applications. And you've worked so much on different databases and all this stuff. And today, you're going to be talking about how Xamarin developers can really leverage this amazing service. The first time you showed it to me and demoed it to me, I was blown away, called DocumentDB. And you can see there's some love going on. You can see all the hearts on my shirt. Lots of love going on. For not only Xamarin, but for DocumentDB, I think a lot of Xamarin developers, and maybe even just developers in general, maybe brand new to DocumentDB, can you just kind of give the 30-second, minute, two-minute pitch of what is DocumentDB?
Oh, absolutely. And the important part is that any love relationship has to be grounded in long-term tangible qualities.
Sure.
And DocumentDB has plenty of them, and so does Xamarin. So let's take a look. First of all, DocumentDB is a NoSQL database as a service on Azure. It offers you benefits that database offer you, which is rich query, and at the same time does not require you to maintain a schema for your data.
So no schema at all.
No schema whatsoever.
So don't have to worry about primary keys, relations, all this stuff.
Exactly. That's what folks call these NoSQL databases.
Okay.
And there are quite a few of them on the market. And they all tend to be coalesced around several scenarios, or a bunch of scenarios these days, which all have three similar properties, right? It's schema and data varies over and over. And it's especially relevant to mobile development because most of you have tens of different versions of your app out there, and they're all speaking with different data structures.
Yeah.
Because data structures change over time. Most of apps these days deal with lots of data. Like if you're building IoT systems, et cetera, you're dealing with lots of data, large ingestion volumes. And high throughput and low, and at the same time, you need to offer very low latency access. Your apps need to be snappy, right? It should be. These three things is what especially makes DocumentDB stand out. It offers you rich query, no schema. It gives you limitless scale. You can store petabytes of data in it if you need to. It offers you less than 10 millisecond latencies for reads and writes against your database while sustaining this humongous millions requests per second throughput volume. It allows you to go global if you need to. Your app can be global, distributed across 34 Azure regions, and it keeps growing.
Yep.
If you really need to, right?
Every time I see Scott Guthrie give another presentation, the number keeps going higher.
More and more and more. Yep. And it's all transparent to your app, right? You just keep writing your data, and it's available to your users no matter where they are at the same low latency.
So you would say super low latency, tons of data, everywhere you possibly need it. And the most important is this NoSQL. I'm so used to SQL and structures. So my application, I noticed that, you know, 10% of users are on version 1, and then, you know, I have 90% on version 2, and then, you know, it kind of all different varies. But I may change the schema, and it doesn't matter, essentially. That's the idea.
Yep.
Is you can have the schema, it just figures it out, and it doesn't matter.
Yep.
So super
exactly.
fast, yep. low latency, global, no schema.
And a bunch of other features, which we'll dive into as we go through the demo. So let's dive in. Right?
Yep.
You start with Azure DocumentDB in Azure Portal. Logical, right? So you just... Here we have, on the left nav, we have NoSQL DocumentDB database as a service.
No, is DocumentDB our database then?
It's our database.
Yes, got it.
It's Azure database, NoSQL database as a service. And it's pretty easy to create one if you don't have one already. And note that you can choose, so you just need to give it a name and tell it where to run. And you can choose different APIs.
Mm-hmm.
So we give you rich query in variety of formats. You can use SQL query, for example.
Okay,
even though it's a NoSQL database, you can still use your SQL skills.
A lot of people
still
are used
there.
To SQL.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You can use Mongo, another very popular API out there. And this is supported at a protocol level, so no matter which MongoDB driver for any language you use, it'll work against DocumentDB. Now, I already have one pre-created right here. And once you create a DocumentDB account, you are greeted with an invitation for a tutorial, right? Which is kind of a decent thing to do.
And I see that you put it in the farthest region away from us, on the East Coast.
Well, there you go.
Couldn't have chosen the Seattle-based region.
I could, yeah. But the good thing is that I'll show you how to correct it.
Okay, good.
And bring data closer. As I get started, I can get started on a variety of platforms. Mm-hmm. And today this session is about Xamarin in Visual Studio 2017. We can, with one click, we can create a collection. Data in DocumentDB is stored in collections. Okay. So we can create a collection. Once a collection is created, we can download a sample already configured to your DocumentDB account. You don't need to change anything. You can just use it.
Click done, go. And then if you're creating backend apps and you're creating like an ASP.NET core application, you could look at that reference.
It's the same thing, exactly.
Because often you need a web backend for your front, you know, and things like that too.
Yep,
if you want to scale and do like an admin portal, maybe something like that.
Yep.
Very cool.
Yep.
So this is the ones that just to save
us a couple of minutes. This is the ones that I downloaded and I opened it in Visual Studio 2017, and here I have it already pre-connected to the account that I created earlier, right? VS Launch, and it's ready to go. Don't worry about this account key. We'll talk about it in a second.
Okay. Sounds good.
It's a simple to-do app. In fact, I already have it running right here. Oops.
There you go.
I have it right here. Running a little ahead of us ourselves. And it's a simple to-do app. I can add some items. Eat food, important. Now I can go and look it up in the portal, and I can see that this data is already stored, right? And I can look it up, and there you go, eat food. Notice the speed, right?
Yeah.
Like usually we do these demos with, and typically it has a client and a middle tier and a database, and it takes some time, a little bit of time, right? And it's an art to make it faster.
So you're not talking to a backend, or you're talking directly to the database.
We're talking directly to the database, right? Mm-hmm. And it's very, and for many scenarios, that's all you really need. Now, this is all any mobile backend these days can do this to-do list, right? There's nothing new. Right?
Yeah.
But let's talk about the schema list, right?
Yeah.
So I'm working on the version 2 of to-do list.
Yep, got to improve it. Version 2, one better than version 1.
And I want to get organized. So I want to have priorities for my items. So let's add another property, right, called priority.
So this is just simple JSON properties, and you just add them out, and it knows because it's sending JSON to and from, essentially.
Yep. Yeah, the database actually supports JSON first class, including you can write scripts that run inside database in JavaScript. And it's like all the data model is JSON data model.
Very cool.
And now when I'm inserting, I want to set, now I'm not that organized, so all my items priorities.
Probably number one.
Will be one.
Yeah, I like that. It's always the number one priority. Well, exactly. One base, not zero base for priority.
All right. So let's run this. And we are using connectivity. So we are running on Windows VM right here. Mm-hmm. And we're going to launch it. And we're going to, since we have to run it on a Mac, we're going to run it on a host. So I'm running on a Mac. We're running on a host on iOS simulator.
Sure.
And while it's going.
Build up, yeah.
Yeah, it's got
So if I was running the Android version of this and I was still on version 1, even though you've just modified the schema, you've modified it via the app. So the app is sending the new schema up to DocumentDB at this point?
Yep.
Oh, I see. Okay, so we have a bull.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Yes. Okay, we're keeping us honest.
Yes.
Here, all right.
And I see you made it a nullable property. Is that important when we're adding new things?
Yeah, so we're talking about changing schemas. And on the backend, as you will see, you don't need to do anything.
Okay.
We are not going to touch the backend.
Anything.
On the client, of course, same versioning guidelines apply. If you're making modifications to your data, you better make, if you're adding properties, you better make them nullable. Otherwise, you'll keep running into value
values absent, some issues, essentially.
In case if your Android app sends the record without this property, and iOS,
it can only be
it.
As smart as possible. It doesn't know, you know, and the apps need to handle that null case. That makes sense. When I'm often changing my scheme, I'm always making sure that what version was it coming from? Are those values null or not? Back and forth at that point, which makes a lot of sense.
Yep.
Cool,
so let's do this. Like get some milk, as we always do with to-do lists.
There we go.
Right? Well, and let's refresh.
All right.
And let's see. Ah. Well, now we're working with two types of data.
Yep.
Right, with two structures, and I did not have to do anything on the backend, no schema required. And this is a simple modification. Mm-hmm. Now, I can change completely the schema or the structure of my data, there's no schema. I can add, it could be completely of different, it could be nested objects, could be anything. I can store any different types of objects in the same collection.
Items could have other lists of items, and animals could have lists of dogs, and cars could have tires, and mappings and child, you know, parent relationships, essentially, and it doesn't matter. I could add that in version 8, and boom, all my apps are okay.
Exactly, and that's a very important part when it comes to DocumentDB, is think of collections not as tables in SQL.
Yeah.
Because collections are heterogeneous data stores, right? You can store anything. Think of them as databases in transactional terms. Your transaction cannot span multiple collections.
Okay.
Just like it cannot span multiple databases.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah,
that's makes a more, sense. And that's like not quite as straightforward to transition to, but this is a very important part because it also saves you money.
Yes.
The less collections you create, the less money you pay. Great. So this is a very simple application, right? And we're just getting started. What we can do now is we can ship it to the store. Before we do that, though, we have to deal with the security key, right?
Yeah, sure. Like any application, we don't want to embed keys into our application or things like that. And I noticed up top, essentially, you have a URL pointing to Azure. You have the database ID, the collection ID. So your database ID could have multiple collections associated with. So I might have items, I might have puppies,
yep.
I might have kitties, I might have monkeys inside of there. And then that account key, that's giving the user unlimited access at this point.
Exactly, yes. Yeah. So we want to remove that. And yep. Usually, and we're not going to do it for the sake of time right now, but what you can do with DocumentDB is DocumentDB supports built-in authorization rules.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Via simple things called resource tokens.
Okay.
These are short-lived tokens that can be issued to the user. I have a sample on GitHub that shows you how to authenticate using Facebook or Active Directory or any other identity provider and exchange your Active Directory token for this resource token and then talk to DocumentDB. And you can associate and map you can map these tokens to a single document, so you really have only document author, only the person who wrote the document can access it.
Got it.
Or you can associate it with a partition key, which is a group of, like, let's say, your tenant or your user. So only user can only see his own documents, cannot see other users' documents.
Got it.
You
so
can associate.
So you would follow the familiar OAuth flow, essentially, that you're
using.
It makes sense.
Exactly.
If you're using Azure AD or Facebook or some other OAuth, boom, good to go.
So take a look at that sample that explains how to do this.
Now, this is simple data, though, just items. And when you talk about geospatial, when you talk about amount of data, the default sample doesn't necessarily highlight that. Is there something that really highlights that?
We'll, and we'll get to it right.
Gotcha. Just want to make sure we get into
that. Yeah, we'll definitely get into this. Let's get quickly go through the main concepts of DocumentDB once you have an app that is ready to be deployed to production, right? So first, you expect that your app will be popular, right? So you probably need to scale.
All my apps are super popular.
Exactly.
I don't know about you.
So DocumentDB is a database as a service. You don't have to think about VMs, instance plans, none of large, extra large, none of that.
There's a number, database of course. That
there
is my
a database,
service.
Right?
Got it. Yep.
And all you need to tell the database is what throughput do you want us to honor?
I want the best. I want the biggest. How big is your pipe? How big is the tube that the data can flow through? Essentially.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Right. And
those inner tubes.
Really, it's only limited by how much you are willing to pay.
Got it.
So
yes.
The throughput.
All of it. Is there a free version? Is this free? Can I get a free
there
version?
There is a free version.
I
important
like that.
Important
I like
question.
Free.
There is a free version which you can download by Googling up DocumentDB. And
DocumentDB free. That's usually when people ask me, is there a free version? I don't know. What did you just ask me? DocumentDB free.
Be free, exactly. And what it'll give you, it'll give you to the start free with emulator.
Oh, okay.
Emulator is a full fidelity emulator that runs locally, that absolutely free, and you can get all the features of DocumentDB on that emulator.
Beautiful.
Except maybe geo-replication, because it really runs on your
machine.
Yeah,
it's on your machine. Right. I mean, you can ship your computer around, I guess.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, cool.
So
are
you can set throughput, and you set throughput using request units. Mm-hmm. The default collection that you created using Get Started is configured with 400 request units. And this is 400 read requests per second of 1 kilobyte documents.
Got it.
And RU request unit is a currency that is better than dollar. It'll be one read request. One RU is one read of 1K document per today, tomorrow, until the end of time.
Got it.
Every operation has associated weight of RUs. And so when you specify 400, you have 400 request units. Now here I have a large collection that's it's an IoT scenario. It ingests a lot of data. And this is configured with 250,000 request units per second.
Okay.
And I'm pumping millions of requests per minute right now into that. And that's it. It doesn't matter how much data you store. We'll just keep scaling out and keep going and keep going. You can adjust this throughput programmatically. Okay. You can create an auto-scale plan, auto-scale script that runs behind the scenes and monitors your throughput. And if throughput grows, you can adjust to accommodate your peaks.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of auto-scale. I've done that for all my applications, and it saves tons of money because you peaks and valleys, right?
Yep. Cool. Another important part here is... we talked about latency, right? So like you have that app and it's growing and the throughput is growing. And what typically happens if you're just doing vanilla, just put together your backend, is the more throughput you put, the slower it becomes, right?
Yep.
With DocumentDB, these are two separate concepts. You set a throughput, doesn't matter what throughput you set, we're going to honor the latency. We give you guarantees for latency. So for example, for this IoT collection, while we're honoring these millions requests per minute, the latency is below 2 milliseconds.
Oh, wow, yeah. Yep.
Write latency
is 10. Yep.
Write latency is a little higher. Our guarantee is less than 10 milliseconds for reads at 99th percentile. 99% of the time, we give you less than 10 milliseconds for reads and less than 15 milliseconds for writes.
And this sample is doing, I see on the top right over here, that's millions.
Millions.
Millions of requests in the sample.
Yes.
So it is crazy. So when you talk about, when you scale out to millions of users, I mean, DocumentDB is going to have you covered in that
Exactly. Now, another important aspect of DocumentDB that makes it very attractive for mobile apps and many other apps is that sometimes apps go global.
Yep.
Right? And then you can go and replicate it.
Yeah, so instance, I may launch and maybe for some reason in Europe, it gets on some viral campaign and my app blows up overnight. I'm number one in the App Store. And I want to make sure that my European customers are super happy. Like that happens. I've talked to game developers, I've talked to app developers, and Apple features your application, then boom, overnight you're a huge success. But if you're doing a round trip every single time,
it takes some time. For example, if it's in Japan and you're talking to a East US data center, it may be 200 milliseconds.
Yeah.
And if you're doing lots of requests, that becomes really visible.
Yeah.
With DocumentDB, with just one click on a map, you can bring your data, you can make it bring your data to your user no matter where it is.
It is just one click. That is how easy it is. One click.
One click on a map.
And now all your data is everywhere.
Any of
the
34 data regions of Azure.
And as we add more, you just keep going. Now, is that read
going.
Write or is that just read?
A important one. Yeah, so the default configuration is you have single write region, all other regions are read regions.
Makes sense.
But you can fail over. So if I discard it, you can fail over by specifying priorities.
Okay.
And this is important for rainy day scenarios, right? Yeah. If something happened, a meteorite flew and removed East US region, would be unfortunate. Thankfully, with DocumentDB, we'll just say that, okay, well, if West US was removed, it'll just fail over first to East US 2.
Now,
if there was a meteorite shower and East US 2 was removed, it'll just fail over to Canada Central.
And then it'll handle, once West US is back up, it'll handle everything for you.
Exactly.
It's beautiful.
The other important part is you can manually fail over. And that's an important when you said that, okay, what if I want to write fast as well?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's important that writes are also super fast. You can make it create a policy that follows the clock and fails over write region around the globe as the sun keeps circling, so that where most of your users are active, that's where the write region is.
Yep.
All those regions are read regions.
Yeah, you realize that, hey, at 5 p.m., for some reason, that is the time where my app has the most activity, but it's 5 p.m. in each time zone. So you just pop.
Exactly. Awesome. That's one app. The other, we have another pattern that allows you to do multi-region write, multi-writes, and we're about to publish an article on how to do this.
Oh, cool.
So these are all great features of the service. It's a managed service. All of these capabilities are offered to you with SLA, four nines SLA. So 99.99% of the time.
It's a lot of nines.
It's a lot of nines.
It's nearly 100%.
I can't even say it straightforward. For mobile developers, though, there are lots of other functionalities that is available that is very interesting. For example, let's show this app. Now, this is a map, right? And we are in Seattle. And this app allows you to select a region. And it's built using Xamarin and DocumentDB.
So you're like kind of specifying a region over here.
And I can get earthquakes. And I may have selected a large-ish region. We'll see.
That is a large region.
Right. But what it'll do is that it will query, and there we have. We have some earthquakes pop up. Oh, what do you know? Mm-hmm. What this does is that you select a region and that it queries for all the earthquakes within that region.
Got it. Right? And there's earthquakes all over the place all the time. You don't even know. It's very scary.
Yep.
I remember looking at a heat map one time, and I was like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, just
not too many in Seattle. I'm pretty.
Yeah, but if you looked at places like Oklahoma with all the drills, you'll see there are quite a few. Now, this is an example of geospatial queries, something that if you have to do it by hand yourself, that's a lot of work to do. Thankfully, with DocumentDB, if we bring in the source code for this,
the region definer. So you define the region, and you don't have to do any work in your app, essentially, to the DocumentDB handles it for
you. Yeah, we'll show you. It's
okay.
We have geospatial queries built in the link syntax.
Got it.
So you have strongly typed queries, and not only you just can query where A equal B, etc., but you can actually pass a proper polygon. And you don't have to write any code. DocumentDB handles this for you and runs a query on the server. It's an optimized indexed. We support geospatial types indexing.
Nice.
So it gives you results pretty fast from the list. So let's take a look at what does a query look like.
Right? And this was just a sample where you just, I think before it was like hard coding some things in, and you just imported a service's earthquakes into your DocumentDB, and then it just goes back and forth.
Exactly, yes. Yeah. So we're using USCS public feed of earthquakes, and we keep storing them in DocumentDB, and now we can query them. And that's all that it takes to query, right? It's just very simple, quake.location. Any geospatial type has a location method on it, and you can go within and you can pass a polygon.
And it's basically, you can send it rich link queries, and then it figures it all out on the back end.
And it translates. So this is geospatial queries first class supported in JavaScript, in SQL, in our SQL language. So you can type in either directly SQL with geospatial queries. Mm-hmm. And we also implemented it in our LinkedIn link provider.
Beautiful. Now, how do people get actual DocumentDB in their Xamarin applications? Like, I mean, we there's
right.
a sample.
Yeah.
But let's say they're like people already, you know, you're a developer and you're like, hey, I have this great application idea and I want to add DocumentDB, but I want to do more than the sample. How do I get that?
Using NuGet. Yeah, so you have to
Everyone's
do
of yep. course. Of course, yep. it's a yep. little.
Yeah, so it managed NuGet packages, and it's a NuGet package, and hopefully it'll just show it to us in the installed. I'm using an RC version. RTM version is available. but there you go. Microsoft Azure DocDB.core. This is the one that you want.
And this is a .NET standard library?
This is .NET standard library.
Beautiful.
And it works with Xamarin iOS, Xamarin Android.
Mm-hmm. And then since it's a .NET standard library, it would work in any of your .NET Core applications, anyone else that supports .NET standard libraries.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Exactly. So all these obviously, Quick Starts is available in Azure Portal. Earthquake sample we're going to make available on GitHub. Just look for github.azure/DocumentDB. You'll find the Xamarin samples there.
Awesome. Do we have any questions over there, Seth?
Yes, and this is for me because we haven't had any come in on social, by the way, if you have questions. Hold on, they're telling me I'm on mute.
Uh-oh.
There we go.
There we go.
There we go. Noob here. So I have some questions. By the way, if you have questions, use hashtag VS2017. We'll get them on the tag board here so we can get them asked to the people. But my question to you is this. I come from a relational database perspective. How do I know, how do I move over to sort of a document database? Where's the boundaries between what are inside of the collections versus what are inside the tables? You see what I'm asking?
Yep. It's a great question. Most of our customers ask themselves this very question all the time. First of all, for many scenarios, SQL is a great database, so you don't have to move over. Right? Now, at times you will find scenarios that require these things that NoSQLs are great at, is schema varies, you're tired of doing alter table all the time, and it's costly. For large volumes of data, need to scale out. When it happens, think of collections transactionally as your databases. Think of, you can store any objects. It's a very important change from tables to collections. In collections, you can store any objects of any types. Queries are the same as you had before. Just like we had, let me bring up the portal. We can go and query the data that we stored earlier using simple SQL syntax.
So you have a whole query explorer. So yep. If you use the SQL commands, you would still be able to do your SQL.
Exactly.
Commands.
So that, from that perspective, nothing changes from you, right? You can add where clauses, everything is the same. But you can do so much more. Your documents now can have different structures. Collections are heterogeneous. You can have nested documents. It's JSON.
So I love that idea. My question, though, is more of a, like for when you do the to-do app, it's super nice because there's just to-dos.
Yeah.
But when I start to have a more complicated app, is it more of a hybrid? Is there data that's some's in SQL and some's in DocumentDB? Is it all DocumentDB? Tell me about the sort of applications that you're seeing being built with DocumentDB.
Yeah, easily. Very common is IoT scenarios, mobile scenarios, where data changes, large volumes of requests, data changes rapidly. Retail scenarios, catalogs, where just schemas too complex to express in SQL, and again, changes rapidly. In those scenarios, everything goes into one database. That's the other important part, because DocumentDB allows you to sustain large throughput of data, and at the same time offer data at very low latencies. You don't have to go and kind of create different databases for reads and writes, all in one database. For your query, your analytics, and your throughput and your data ingestion pipeline, they all point to the same database. Your code, again, very similar to what you had with SQL. You're using the same SQL statements, just moving them over. Your data, most of your tables will end up in a single collection. Sometimes it's useful to separate collections, but you need to optimize it for latencies and throughput. So you optimize it for performance reasons, not necessarily for data schema reasons.
So you might have duplication of data across, and that's okay.
You may have, yep. Or more likely, you can split your data for, here's a collection that stores all my reference data. And here's a collection that stores all my operational data.
I see.
That makes sense, because they need to be configured to different throughput reasons. They have different partition keys. They need to be partitioned differently. Those are the factors that you take into account when deciding how many collections do I want. Opposed to, okay, I definitely need to put orders in one collection and customers in the other. Customers and orders go into the same collection.
I love it. So there's a question here from this gentleman here, GC Man. Is it possible to specify more write regions for DocumentDB? And we'll finish with this one.
We have an article on MSDN that explains how to do multi-region write setup with DocumentDB. There are two patterns, briefly. One is you follow the clock. So it's a single write region, but it changes as the clock moves. Second pattern is you have actual multiple regions that take write, and you create two DocumentDB accounts. I'm not going to go into details. So the article explains how to do it.
You can do it. That's the point. You can do it.
Awesome. So you can do it. Yes. Awesome. Well, I love the demo. It's cool to see how you can use DocumentDB to make your app planet scale. Super excited about that. We have one more session coming up. Top 7 things to be excited about as a C++ developer Visual Studio. As always, as the session is going, please ask your questions using hashtag VS2017. We will ask the experts your questions live if you're able to get it in early enough. And so with that, we're going to go to a little bit of a break. And after, we're going to have Daniel and Steve talk about how to be excited about C++ and Visual Studio. We'll see you after the break.